Oh, listen, men, listen to me now. Your wife is not a separate person now. You're not building a life for two, husband, wife. You're not building a life for two. You're building a life for one because God has made you one flesh. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Friday and welcome to the broadcast. On today's program, Pastor Bill completes the message, Submission in Marriage, the Husband. Now, Pastor Bill.
How are you doing? Fine. What's going on? I don't know. How do you feel today? I guess I'm fine. Why? What's up? Women, you ask that, you get along. How are you doing? I mean, do they talk to you? Man, they're going to tell you your feelings. Last Wednesday morning, Rhonda, you were right there. So, Sunday rather. But last Wednesday morning, I told my wife at breakfast, I said, I got so emotional in the pulpit. Remember at the very end? I said, I get so embarrassed. I don't want to be emotional in the pulpit. I even said, Bill, you're a sissy, you know? And I said, no. And I said, but it embarrasses me. I get overcome with emotion. Sometimes I just can't control it. So I come to church, and Becky said, it doesn't matter. But anyway, I come to church Wednesday night. And so this woman walks up to me and says, Pastor Bill. I said, yeah. I said, I've been praying for you. I said, okay, thank you. No, the Lord told me this morning in my prayer time, he told me, he said, you're not to be ashamed of showing emotion. I went, now, is that God? So if I start weeping, just leave me alone, you know? No, listen, women, they're better at us when it comes to that. And they're not weaker spiritually. Man, that is listen, today in the American church, who is the backbone of the church? Yeah, women. You go over there right now. You tell me who's not working. It's women that are working. Men, where are you at? Did you know that women, Christian women today, are more likely to share Christ than the man does? You know, you stay home. Hey, I can't miss this sports game. But they come to church. There's something. So don't say that. Now, what does it really mean, husband, men, when God says, he uses the word, he says, honor them as unto the weaker vessel. Yes, physically, in some cases, of course, but that's not what it's referring to right here. In context, it means the one that you are one with, that weaker vessel, she is number one worth protecting. Amen. She's worth protecting, she is worth honoring, and she is worth cherishing because she is valuable to you. You know, you put your arms around her, you help her, you do whatever is necessary. You know what God in his word, husbands, says about your wife, the weaker vessel? Let me give you a few scriptures. It says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Say good thing. Good thing. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, who would ever, in the Bible, what's your wife? She's a good thing. That's the word of God. And then it says, listen, you find a good thing and listen and obtain favor from the Lord. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. What does that mean? It means that woman is priceless. How about this one? Proverbs 12:4, an excellent wife or a morally excellent wife is the crown of her husband. You know what God just said about a weaker vessel? He said, men, your wife is your reward. Think about that, to have a good wife, but also a wife needs a good husband. Amen? The word vessel is a very important word. You know, listen, let's look at this next one. Verse 7, being heirs together of the grace of life. In other words, both of you share an equal common salvation. Amen? Yes. Listen, you're heirs together. You are both co-heirs with Christ. You're both made in the image of God. You're both one in Christ. You're both saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Spirit, all the same way. All the promises that belong to the man belong to the woman because you're all in Christ Jesus. But you're heirs together of the unmerited, unearned grace of life meaning that eternal life is a gift from God. Amen? And you have that. See, your wife, husband, wife, listen, you are spiritual equals in the eyes of Almighty God. Let me give you the scripture, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew, there's neither Greek, there's neither slave, free, there's neither male, female. You are all, male, female, whatever, you're all one in Christ Jesus. Did you know that right there is another proof text that explains why a Christian should never, ever marry a person who is not a Christian, okay? Because there's no way that they can be both together, one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, remember the old Puritan, what he said? He says, if you are a child of God and you marry a child of the devil, you will be sure to have trouble with your father-in-law. That kind of went over your head, didn't it? All right. Now, Peter's going to close here. He's going to close with a very, very strong warning. So those in the chapel, everyone who is married, and those who are single, who will one day be married, if that's what God wants for you, and all those that are listening live, whether it be the radio or through live stream, he who hath ears to hear what the Spirit of God, the living Word of God is about to say, I pray that you truly listen to it. But this is a stern, solemn warning from Almighty God. And he says here, he says that your prayers may not be hindered. Husband, wife, listen very carefully. Look what this says again. It doesn't say that his prayers are going to be hindered. It doesn't say that her prayers are going to be hindered. It says your prayers, both of your prayers. Wow. So Peter assumed here, number one, that a husband and wife, they all have, of course, a private time to pray individually, alone, but they also come together and pray together. So when it says that your prayers be not hindered, the word hindered means, it means to cut in on, okay? And it's like if you grew up, when I was a teenager, where I grew up, we didn't have single telephone lines, we had party lines. Remember? And so we shared a phone with about four different families, all right? So I'd be on the phone talking to my girlfriend or whatnot, and then all of a sudden somebody would cut in and say, how long are you going to be on the phone? So they cut in. They stopped my voice going to the other party. And so the other party couldn't hear me anymore. They cut right in. Well, that's what that word right there means. It's a military term, too. It means like if you have an advancing army, and here they come, and they're your enemy, and what you do, and they're on that road, you go and you cut in a trench that when they try to cross it, they can't cross it because you have cut it in. Now, listen carefully. This is very, very important. Husbands, I pray in Jesus' name you listen right now. How powerful is your weaker vessel, your wife? How powerful is she? Boy, she's actually here. She's stronger than you. She's stronger than you, and God is on her side. What do you mean, Bill? God says if you don't honor your wife, that word honor means to treat like treasure. If you don't treat her like a precious treasure, then you're in trouble because your wife is my daughter. I have adopted her. She is a child of God. She belongs to me. I chose her in my son before creation ever existed. And not only that, she is my purchased possession. She belongs to me. This is a stewardship issue, man. That's my daughter, and don't you dare treat her unlovely. You honor her. If not, your prayers are going to be cut off. Ooh, now listen to me. You cannot be right with God and not be right with your wife. Wives, you cannot be right with God and not be right with your husband. You pray all you want to pray, but God says, no, no, I love you. I love you both so much, but you know, wife, I'm not going to answer your prayer. Or husband, if you're going to treat her like that, if you're going to verbally abuse her, whatever you might do, if you don't treat her God's way, he says, I love you both because my son paid the price for you, but I'm going to discipline you, and I discipline or chasten those that I love. Amen? And it hurts me. I know God says it hurts me not to answer your prayer. It hurts me, but I can't because you're treating each other or vice versa, whatever it is, the wrong way. Now listen to me. If you do not honor your wife, if you don't honor your husband, because it's both of you here, I'm telling you something. If you don't do it God's way, you will rob yourselves. And for you to be cut in or hindered, that's exactly what Satan wants. He wants that desperately in your marriage. He hates your marriage. He hates you. He hates that you're made in the image of God. He wants everything to be removed. So he wants to cut in and cut you off from answered prayer. Why did it happen? Because of one reason. There you are, and you're not doing what God says, treating your wife or vice versa the right way, and then an emotional breach happens between the two of you. And that is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, give no door or give no opportunity to the devil. If you do that, I'm telling you, he is so happy, because you know what you do when that happens? You've opened a door for the devil, and now into your marriage, you've given him permission, wife, or you've given him permission, husband. You've given the devil permission, think about it, to come in and cut a trench and stop you, your prayers, from being answered. That's why this verse is so powerful. You know, only God knows, loved one, listen, only God knows how many Christian wives and Christian husbands live in the same house, under the same roof, but they are emotionally divorced already in their hearts. That's horrible. God doesn't want that for you. In other words, maybe you're married, but you're miserable. Married and miserable. Just think, that means all of your married life is going to be that way all of your life. You've got to be careful. That's why both of you need submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, because that means you're both going to obey the word of God. Let me give you another door the devil loves to walk into from chapter 7 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7:3. Let me read it to you. It says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. We're talking about intimacy in the bedroom. It says, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Okay, vice versa. The wife doesn't have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband doesn't have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Okay, now, husband, does that mean that you demand to go into the bedroom? We're talking about sex, okay? S-E-X, you know what that means? Does it mean, you heard what you're going to, I am getting a law. No, you're not reading your wife. You don't dwell with her with understanding right there at all. And wives, it doesn't mean that you used your body as a tool for manipulating your husband. God, that felt good. No. And then what Paul, listen to what Paul does now through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's getting ready to give a command. Let me read it to you. Do not, here's the command, do not deprive one another. Don't do that. It's a command. Don't deprive one another except, that's a big word, except with consent. That means both of you, here you are, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. That means you are mutually submitting to one another. Hey, no, we're going to kind of lay off for a while. It says, do not deprive one another with consent for a time. That means a specified time. We're going to, for 7 days or whatnot, we're okay, but not 7 years. You know what I mean? I'm going to go on a spiritual quest for 5 years. No, that's not what that means. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. Why? That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. So it's for spiritual reasons, not for selfish reasons. You're not going to, don't touch me. No, that's not, no, uh-uh. It says, and come together again. Now listen to why Paul says that. He says, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Listen to me now. You shut the bedroom door to your mate. You are then doing something. You are opening a door for the wicked one to come in and tempt your husband or to tempt you. And believe me, he knows exactly how to put people across your path to say the exact right things. Because see, if you have an emotional breach in your marriage and it's not being fulfilled, you're going to go, it'll finally, he knows that, and he'll bring someone that will try to fulfill it for you. Oh, he's subtle. You've got to take God's word at it. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 5:18, it says, listen, rejoice with the wife of your youth. And that doesn't stop when you're young. Keep on rejoicing with the wife of your youth. You know, I told the early service, I said, listen, my wife and I, when I met her, she walked into the church and I locked my eyes on her. I've never forgotten that. I mean, you've heard of being slain in the spirit? Man, I mean, I got weak in the knees and man, I saw her and I mean, I started drooling and didn't say a word to her. She just looked at me like, oh my God, is this a visitor in the church? And I was. But you know what happened? Y'all know that. 7 days later, we married. 7 days. And for over 45 years, going toward, you know, we're heading toward the 50 mark, man. We've been living together, learning each other, and growing in oneness because we are one flesh. And that happens, loved one, through ups and downs, good days, bad days. We have faced plenty together. We've faced poverty together. We've faced cancer together. We have argued together. But I can honestly tell you that our arguments have been so few, I don't even remember what we argued about ever. That's something that's almost unheard of in our home. But through it all, everything that we faced, we went to the Word of God, and the Lord was with us. We did it His way. We're not doing it our way. Do you understand? When I do it my way, I fail. But when I do it His way, I always win. You're going to get old. And when you get old, you're going to experience every decade a new emotion. Your kids are born. Your kids grow up. You drop them off at college. Ooh, that kills you. Another emotion. Hey, grandchildren. All these things. And you go through life, but don't get set in your ways. Don't get old and be set in your ways. Get old and be set in God's ways. Amen? Then you're going to walk through life the way you're supposed to do so. Life goes quickly, man. It says in Ecclesiastes 9:9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain, that means empty life. It is empty here. This is not where we belong. Now listen to me. If the rapture doesn't happen in my lifetime, if the rapture of the church, the catching away of the church, doesn't happen in your lifetime, I'm speaking primarily right now to husbands and wives. You're going to get old, and one of you will bury each other. That's what's going to happen. Don't you think that you should take what you have and live? Live and love one another God's way. Have a marriage that is God's way. Oh, listen. Build your life together God's way, because that is the best way. Can I just encourage you to be obedient? Treat each other like treasure. You're in the perfect will of God when you do that. Did you know that? And your prayers will not be hindered. But if you don't, if you're verbally abusive, if you beat down your mate, God will correct you. And you will be miserable in your living and miserable in your heart. You're not of the world. You're a new creation in Christ. Listen to me. In my own personal life, when that scripture became living in me and I understood it, it changed everything in my heart. You see, women, listen to me, ladies, I say this in love right now. When a girl grows up, that's why, if you'll notice, children come to my office all the time. I have, of course, lollipops, that's why they come. But I have dolls in there. I have all kinds of stuff because I love children. And I always tell them, whether boys or girls, you are the most handsome. Oh, you're handsome. You know, I mean, I even told JT, we had breakfast lunch yesterday, that member of all the leadership. I said, anybody ever tell you you have Paul Newman's eyes? He's a man. He's also a police officer. You don't talk to cops that way, okay? Now, and I tell the little girls, I said, you're so beautiful. Oh, you're beautiful. But a lot of times when girls grow up, they're not told that. They don't see a father that treats the wife like treasure. And they grow up and they think, I've got to act this way, especially today with social media. I've got to look this way. I've got to have this kind of body, this kind of hair, this kind of everything. And then I'll be loved and then I'll be accepted. And so they grow up and they become teenagers. And so they date this guy and he's like teenagers are. They lie. He only wants one thing from her. But he'll tell her anything to get that one thing. You know what I'm saying? So as the years go by, what happens? Man after man after man, if that's the way it is in some of your lives, they hurt her. They wound her. And so she wants to be loved because God made her to be loved. But she has to protect her heart. So what does she do? She puts brick after brick after brick that other men have made. Could be fathers, stepfathers, boyfriend, whatever. It could be the husband that left her. And now she wants to love because God made her to love and to be loved. That's why she's called a vessel. A vessel is something that contains something inside, and it's her heart. And so there you go, and you get married. And she wants to give you all of her heart, but she can't because she's had so much trust issues with men. In the late 60s, I was in Paris. I lived in Europe. I've always wanted to see the Mona Lisa at the Louvre. I go into the Louvre, and the Mona Lisa is in one gigantic room. I don't know how it is today. One room, the guards were there with their little rifles and the hats and all that. And there was one light in this gigantic room on the Mona Lisa, and a red velvet thing where it'd stop you, couldn't, you know what I mean? Now, men, listen to me, and wives, listen to me. Your wife, if you're going to treat her like treasure, you have to know that she is a treasure. So let's look down here, and there's one light right now shining straight down beside me, and that light is shining on a treasure chest, but the lid is closed. That's her heart. And you open that up and you go, oh my gosh, why can't I have all that? I mean, look at the diamonds and the gold and the rubies and all those things. And she goes, I want to give them to you, but I can't give them to you because I don't know how because of the bricks. Listen to me now, men. The Word of God is a spiritual sledgehammer. You do what God says and you treat her like treasure. And you know what you're going to do? One by one by one, all those bricks come down. And no one can remove them but you, the husband. Don't ask the wife to do it. You've got to trust me. No. You've got to do it. You've got to remove them yourself. And you know how you do it? You dwell with her with understanding. You honor her. You honor your wife. You treat her as treasure. And then here's what happens. All of a sudden, the lid of the treasure chest, you see all the gold, the silver, meeting her heart. And she, all of a sudden, you start getting that and this and that. And you know what happens? Your marriage explodes. It explodes. Why? You're doing marriage God's way. God created your wife. Listen to me. God created your wife and your husband, but I'm talking about created your wife to be loved only one way, only one way, with the highest love in the universe. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. There's no higher love than that. And God created her only to be loved like that. If you love her with, Ephesians 5:25 is a command. Why would God command you to love your wife when you married her? I love her, that's why I married her, because God is saying your love is not good enough. I created her to be loved my way, not your way. And when you do things God's way, man, you will always have the victory. Yes, it takes two to tango. Yes, your wife has to be obedient. And yes, you have to be obedient. But when you do it God's way, I'm telling you, that trench that's been cut, it's filled in. And you walk across it, you walk right over the devil. Do you understand? You walk right. Because what? See, a house divided can't stand. But God says, you do it my way. I'll fill that trench in. I'll answer your prayers. I'll give you a marriage that you have never, ever had. That's what God does when you obey him. Is your marriage in trouble? Are your prayers not being answered? Are you miserable in your marriage? God says, I'll fix it. I'll fix it right now. I created you. I created marriage. I made you one. I'll fix it if you'll come to me. If you'll give your marriage back to me. If you will let Jesus be the Lord of your marriage now, if you will love your wife the right way, if just obey me, I gave you the Holy Spirit. You have all the power you need. You have all the grace you need. And I've given you the ammunition. It's the Word of God. If you do it his way, but you have to come to him. You have to give your marriage to him. And then you have to do what God says. You cannot be right with God and wrong with your wife. You cannot be right with God and be wrong with your husband. But you can be right if you will come to him to heal your marriage.
Well, it's been another week of good sound teaching from God's Word, and we want to thank you for listening with us. Now, Pastor Study in 1 Peter continues when we return on Monday, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. May the Lord bless you with a safe and restful weekend, and we hope to see you on Monday. So long, everyone.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.